Our readings today come from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 to 11, and Luke chapter 4, verse 18. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that your Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was an ancestor, was my ancestor, and he went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to you your house." And from Luke, actually chapters 4, verses 16 to 21. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Now the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the witness of God's holy people to all generations.
Let us pray. Gracious one, we are at awe at how you continue to speak to our lives. So in these moments, open our ears to hear in a new way. Refresh our minds to conceive the possibilities and come into our hearts that they may be brimming with joy and hope. For your word is true for all generations. Come, be with us. Amen. Now, if you are comfortable, I never ask you to do things that you're not comfortable, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes for a moment. And let your mind drift to a time of a wonderful family gathering. Perhaps it was a particular Christmas where grandparents and aunts and uncles and in-laws, everybody was there. Maybe it was a family celebration of a wedding anniversary. The food was perfect for the family's tastes. And the stories went on, with great laughter and poignancy. And those precious moments of mystery in the gathering fell like drops of grace. You looked into the eyes of someone you loved, and you could swear the Christmas tree lights were flickering in them. Or maybe that moment when the newest great-grandchild was brought to Grandma for the first time, and she begins to tell her old, old story of Jesus and his love. Look upon your family and see the mystery of generations woven from old stories into new stories of belonging. Judging by the smile on a few of your faces, I think you've tapped into a nice memory, and I celebrate that with you. You can leave your eyes closed and listen, or you can open them if you wish. Throughout history, generations have gathered around a crackling fire or under the shade of a baobab tree or around family tables. There, the eldest weaves the lives of the youngest into the story of a clan, of a people, so that each one knows where they came from, to whom they belong, and what makes them who they are. The reading from Deuteronomy this morning is considered the last speech by Moses before his death and before the wandering people of the desert were finally able to walk into the promised land. What does Moses say to them? He explains the new rituals or behaviors that they are to begin as part of their worship of Yahweh. And he explains the meaning of those rituals by telling the old, old story once again and tells them that they are to repeat it every time that they gather for worship, so every generation will remember. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor, the story of Abraham and Sarah. He went down into Egypt, the story of Joseph among the Pharaohs. When the Egyptians treated us harshly, and so was the beginning of Moses' own story, we cried to the Lord, our God, our ancestors. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with signs and wonders. And that's how we got to be the people of God, a people in covenant with Yahweh in this particular place. The people heard the story and understood where they came from as a people, that they belonged to Yahweh, and how they were to be in this new promised land. They learned to lean back into the story over and over again in order to secure the identity they were creating in the now. But today, across this whole world, people are on the move like never before in civilization, seeking jobs, seeking security, looking for freedom, hoping for hope. Often with little choice, but moving away from family and from the place of their people for generations, from the retelling of stories by the gathered family. This moving that we can witness across this world, this striving, is weakening the story that informs us. when we cannot gather frequently, when we can't share the stories that weave us together and laugh at ourselves and care for each other, our spirit can break. We don't know where we really belong anymore. Life seems to pass us by. So instead of the relationships, the stories, and the gathering which nurture the sense of who we are, we get busy to upgrade our phones and tablets to terabytes of storage so that we can download the loads and loads of pictures that people send us from somewhere far away. They're wonderful pictures. They make us smile. But our bodies ache for their hugs. And that sense of belonging in the everyday. We long for purpose and find that life is fractured. Many of us fall into loneliness. Mother Teresa reminded the world once that, and quote, "Loneliness, in my mind, is the most terrible poverty there is." Some of you may get the United Church Observer. And this past June, this was the feature story. It says, "All the lonely people, an estimated 6 million Canadians, live in isolation. Social researchers are now calling it the hidden epidemic." 6 million of our neighbors. Particularly elderly, those with disabilities, immigrants, and the economically disadvantaged. 6 million are lonely, desperately lonely, and becoming poor in spirit. But there is a different way. There's a different way for us to learn to live. Jesus knew the power of knowing one's story. Among the people in the synagogue, Jesus unrolled the scroll of Isaiah from his ancestors and read. And in doing so, he was laying out the wisdom and the purpose of his own religious roots and those of the people in the synagogue. And from those roots that they were all familiar with, Jesus began to weave a new story for the new community of believers that he was called to create. He was weaving a good news story to share with all. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." What Jesus is saying is that God's presence is with me, just like it was in the desert wandering of my people. And this presence gives me power to tell the old, old story in a new way that creates new life for everyone. God's Spirit binds me to the generations before so that all who hear this good news story will also find a place of belonging and peace. I bring this good news story to the poor, whether they be poor in spirit, mind, or body. I bring this good news story to those who need a new community of love to restore them. Today, Jesus says, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I am doing this thing. Do you see the art of the possible in those words? Do you hear it? What happens if we read it this way? The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because God has anointed us to bring the good news to the poor. What might happen if we, as congregations worshiping together in this place, chose to embrace the truth of those words? That God's Spirit is upon us, and God has anointed and is anointing each of us to bring the good news to all. What might happen if we chose that as a purpose for our congregations and turn that purpose particularly to tackle this epidemic of loneliness among us? As I was reflecting on this week, I thought, those of you who know me know I can come up with ministries often in a day. But what would happen if we in our congregations began a ministry of sacred story spaces? Sacred story spaces. A place and time where all are welcome to share their stories, and we learn to listen and learn from them and change a little because of them, and they are changed because they are with us and not alone. A place and time where we, too, practice again, as we did much better decades ago, to tell our old, old story of Jesus and his love. To tell the people around us in this sacred space that we have come from a wandering Aramean in the land where now conflict rages, whose generations brought forth a man named Jesus, who came to be the living Christ among us and the creator of new beginnings and of all hope. A ministry of sacred story spaces. And truthfully, as I look around, I can see that both of our congregations, St. James and Trinity, have in fact taken the first steps into such a ministry. Here at St. James, you have this beautiful community garden and a public labyrinth and peace pole. What might that look like if you began to be intentional in creating a space where people who worked the garden, who quietly came in and walked the labyrinth, from your neighborhood, most likely, when you invited them to come and sit with you and ask them, what is your story about your garden here? What is your story that you come and walk this labyrinth? I wonder what the story may be as you gather yourself and the people from your neighborhood and figure out, what is life's meaning as we tend this garden and tend the Spirit? What a wonderful story could emerge. And what a wonderful way to take someone who may be gardening all alone, going home to be alone, to be part of something here at St. James Rosemount. And those of you from Trinity, and these are not necessarily mutually exclusive, this summer you started Picnic on the Green, an impromptu space in the little patch of green we have in the midst of construction, to put out tables and muffins and soup and cold drinks, and anyone who wanders by is welcome to sit and share stories and teach us something. How could the congregation continue to nurture that kind of a gathering, creating that space and time for telling and listening to our neighbor's sacred stories in ways that help them feel that they are important in something and help us to learn more about who we are, as we like to say at Trinity, in downtown Kitchener? We've already started those things. But what would it look like if we became intentional, knowing that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us and has, in fact, anointed us to bring this good news to everyone? Given the world outside our church walls and within our own lives, I really do believe the Spirit of the Lord is with us. I really do. And the power is in that old, old story of love. It just needs to be shared in new ways to create new beginnings. But the time is now. I know that in all congregations, people sit in the pew and remain still very lonely. I know that in neighborhoods all around us, there's tremendous loneliness, where people begin to ask, is there anything left for me to do? Am I any use for God anymore? And they don't know the answer to that. God is calling us to be bold with our good news story. God is asking us to tell it over and over in words and action and in creating a welcoming space for listening. That's how we're going to create a community that embraces and lives out fully the ministry of sacred story spaces. The time is now. Not 10 years from now. Not when all our finances line up wonderfully. The time is now. The world is poor and in need. And we've been anointed to share the good news, which will help all of us create a better world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us see clearly that which you ask us to become here and now. For those who cannot lean into that story at this time because of complete brokenness, we ask you to come and wrap them with your healing and comforting arms, so that even through the actions of love, they know they belong. These and all those matters on our heart, we give to you, O God, knowing that you will use them to create your kingdom on this earth. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the living Christ, who is among us. Amen.